You are listening to the Riverfront Church Podcast, a place to explore faith, history, ideas, and more.
Samuel Blair, I am a chaplain with Bridges Hospice, and I am co-host of Church of the Geek with Brian Bennett.
Yeah, I am Brian Bennett. I'm a campus pastor in Pittsburgh and founder and co-host of Church of the Geek Podcast.
Okay, so first it should be pointed out that we are here at Theocon. Either of you want to take a crack at explaining Theocon?
Theocon, it's my first time here at Theocon, but it is kind of a pop culture convention like you would have in terms of, you know, Comic-Con or Dragon-Con, any of your cons, but with a theological bent, where you have different breakout sessions where we talk about issues relating to theology and pop culture, whether that be in comic books or movies, or we were just talking about Steven Universe and the Marvel Cinematic Universe and images of race and so on in comics. So it's a pretty wide range of topics.
Yeah, including things like moral thinking, philosophy, etc. It also gets wrapped up in here. Lots of different viewpoints. Our speaker this morning was a Muslim convert, so yeah.
And also for the listeners, can you tell us the characters each of you are dressed as right now?
I am John Constantine, noted paranormal investigator, or I could even be even more meta to say that I am Mystique cosplaying as John Constantine.
Now, cut in different universes doesn't work.
It does.
No.
Dang it.
It completely works.
No. I'm jealous. I am. I am doing just a member of the Night's Watch from Game of Thrones.
Okay, now tell us a little bit about Church of the Geek. When, how, and why was this created?
Well, so I had this crazy idea, and it was like 2014 is when I started, and it has had a lot of fits and starts and some long hiatuses, and I had started with another co-host, and then he got really busy, and then I was trying to decide what to do with the stuff, but it was really a place to talk about geek culture, faith, life, where they interact, because I see it just for myself, and I thought, this is really interesting. There's got to be other people who find it interesting too, and there it was. That's where it started. I didn't know where it would go. I still don't really know what's going on, but you know, so we keep trying to find out about it and move along, and we've done a lot of different things. We talk about a lot of, clearly Marvel stuff does a lot. We've done stuff around Game of Thrones. We look at various types of pop culture, really, no matter what it might be, as long as, you know, the folks who want to talk about it, we'll go with it. We've even started a sort of a live play Dungeons and Dragons bit, because we wanted to use it as a laboratory to talk about what does it mean to be wrapped up in a narrative and how that, I think there's things. So there's a bunch of us, pastors who are on that doing that.
Yeah.
So.
Which is even that is just very interesting in itself, in that, you know, coming from, you know, I used to play Dungeons and Dragons growing up, and then, you know, was doing that in the middle of the whole satanic panic of, you know, like Dungeons and Dragons being this evil, horrible game, dropped out of it, but then, you know, finding now again, you know, a bunch of pastors that are able to play this game, and about not only just playing the game, but the richness of the fantasy around it, and the necessity of, you know, how you put yourself in the story, how you work out through issues around morality and faith in this imaginary world is very common. Says something about how you work it out in your own life too.
How do you find that connecting people with these narratives that, you know, they seem to love and enjoy helps to connect with either a more philosophical or theological discussion?
Mm-hmm. Well, story is great for that, because we often have a hard time telling our own stories, because either we think that we're, you know, being too self-focused by talking about it, or just don't know how to put it into words. But having a story that you can say, you know, oh, this character I relate to because I feel the same way, or this story is similar to my own story, and you can have a parallel that way. You can write your story into that story, have it feed into your life around how you can grow and change and relate in those sorts of ways.
Stories make a truth claim when we want to talk about it. And it's really important because then it is a matter of where do we find ultimate meaning, right? If we don't locate it somewhere in truth, then it's going to slip away, right? And I get that in sort of a postmodern world, truth is a really tough thing to grasp, right? But I mean, it's like the old Supreme Court discussion of pornography. We know it when we see it, right? Things resonate really deeply across lots of folks, then I think we can go, oh, there's something there. Clearly, issues like the Marvel Cinematic Universe have touched upon something as sort of our deep myth, the things that make meaning for us in our lives. So clearly, those are gonna have intersections with other places that truth resides, and so clearly, that's a place. That's why we always talk about it as Church of the Geeks, where the intersection of geek and faith life, because they automatically intersect.
So you touched on the Marvel part, which you just led a discussion, an exploration of redemption in the MCU. Would you care to encapsulate what motivated that particular topic, and then what did you, if you could sum up in a nutshell what you see as redemption in the MCU?
Oh, summarize an hour and no, and even then we were talking afterwards. There was so much more that we could have talked about, but part of the point was to discuss about how redemption, what redemption is in terms of our faith, what does it look like, how do we talk about it, talking about redemption from something to something by someone, and not only redemption on an individual level, but as a community of faith and as a larger community in general. And where do we see throughout Marvel Cinematic Universe, just as an example, where do we see those stories worked out? And we had a lot of discussion about Tony Stark, Black Widow, Captain America, and also, like, are there characters, one of the questions that came up afterwards was, are there characters who are irredeemable? And thinking about those and what makes those characters irredeemable and what would make them redeemable in the end.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it was just a question of why did we do it? We wanted to be a Theocon, number one.
And it was easy.
And it was something that we really felt like that was material we had a real good grasp of. But we've talked about it a lot.
It helps that other people have seen the same things we've seen, so it's easy to kind of, you don't have to explain things about, like, oh, here's this movie that you may not have seen. It's like probably the general consensus is that you've seen some of the films and are familiar with some of the characters, and so you, even if you haven't seen all, you know, the entire thing from start to finish, you've seen, you know, this story, you know, these characters, and...
Indeed.
So let me ask you this. From the geek perspective, we've seen a shift from, we've all seen this. It used to be put out a movie, and if it does well, then we can expect maybe a sequel, and if it doesn't, you know, and it's all these self-contained units, and that shift now to this idea of a cinematic universe, whether it's Marvel, DC, whatever, And that seems to give us a lot more time to develop a character, to explore, to watch them stumble and pick themselves back up, to watch them, you know, go through times of doubt and so forth. And you know, as we talked about in there, whether it's Tony Stark or Steve Rogers, you're looking at two characters that, you know, it took, you know, 15, 20 films to kind of tell that story, yeah, that arc. So from a geek perspective, I mean, would, is, we're seeing that, but then we're seeing others where it's like it's good to have an endpoint. You know, you have some TV shows that are saying, you know what, four seasons, that's it, or we don't need to stretch this out more. So that storytelling thing, where's that magic place of, do you tell it in a trilogy? Do you tell it in a series? Do you tell, you know, how's, what's the best way to tell that story?
Yeah. And a lot, I think, depends on how it's written and how the story is written. I think, you know, Star Wars is another great example of a universe, not just the cinematic universe, but a toy universe, a television universe, that is all kind of, you know, blends in literary universe in terms of comics as well as novels. So it's a very broad thing. But I think there's also been, you know, with, you know, this film coming up, there's also this sense of, okay, this era is going to be done, but then there's all these other projects that are kind of going on. But yeah, there is that kind of test of should this have died a long time ago? And I think a lot of that depends on who can you still write those stories that fit in that universe. I think Marvel's been extremely, I don't know, lucky, or they've just picked the right people to write the story, been able to write stories that can continue to be compelling, whereas those have not been the case for other series and universes as well. I think, you know, when they sometimes shift writers, or the tail starts to wag the dog of, we need to keep this universe going, so we'll just extend it without really, and the story becomes secondary, or the actor, you know. But they've, you know, the challenge now is how can you continue to keep it compelling, keep it interesting, make the story the impetus rather than the title, the, you know, the brand.
Yeah, right. Is it the story that's being sold, or is it the brand?
Yeah.
And those are two really different things. If it's just keep stuff in the public, in the public eye, right, then you're just worried about the brand, you know. If it's all about the narrative, if you can keep that going, keep that engaged. I think that's really fascinating that Marvel has sort of set out, okay, phase one, phase two, phase three, all right, we're going to start phase four. Here are the titles and at least approximate release dates, right? So they know that, and I think that's part of, like, how does that help keep us going? But they've also brought in the people who have a really good grasp of the story and know how to tell sort of that right story. So I think that's a really important part of that. Mm-hmm. How do they do it, right? In a similar way, they know when to end in some ways because they have the phases. Okay, well, these phases bring some natural, not ultimate, but some penultimate endings. Gene Roddenberry had with, like, Star Trek Next Generation, like, okay, seven seasons is it. And that become then the standard for Deep Space Nine, for Voyager, right? So those became planned out. And then that helps them set that arc. Like, how's that going to go? I think as long as they can tell those stories at that level, they'll continue that.
Okay, final question. If you could commission any writers, producers, whatever, to create that series, that trilogy, that cinematic universe or whatever, based on the life of anyone from the Bible or from historical faith perspective, you know, could be an early church father or whatever, who would you want to see their life explored in that way?
Boy, that's an interesting one. Maybe, ooh, this could be interesting. Guillermo del Toro doing Ezekiel. Brian's laughing.
I love Guillermo del Toro. That might be the best answer. I don't know if I... although, for mine, I guess... For one, it's a little more historical because I think here's the situation. I think getting a series that explored the life of Augustine, as the, I think it would be really super important to see him, right, we don't know what he looked like, right? But I think a North African, he needs to be black, right? Yeah. He needs to have that element because, I mean, you can argue no one has had a greater hand in shaping the Western world than Augustine, right? And so to see that sort of Game of Thrones style story of the basically the ending of the Roman Empire, Christianity sort of blossoming out of that, going like that's where I'd go right now if you ask me right now today like you did. So
nice. All right. Any final thoughts?
No. Thank you so much.
People can find Church of the Geek pretty much anywhere.
We're there. Podcasts. We're on iTunes. We're on Google Play or on Spotify. All those places you find them. Most podcast subscription stuff will pick up our feed with Church Geek, and we're at Twitter at Geek Church. You can also check us out geekchurch.blogspot.com, where all of our stuff gets posted there as well.
And September 19th, 2020 in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh. Oh, it's on our home turf. It's great.
We have home field advantage this time.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Riverfront Church Podcast. You can connect with us online at riverfrontwilmo.com or on Facebook. Just search for Riverfront Church in Wilmington, Delaware. May God meet you where you are and lead you where you are meant to go.